For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 182, Grilled Knuckle Sandwiches.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we'll sing out.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I am your King Baby Duck.
And I'm Blue Onyx.
First of all, thank you to everyone who checked out our first live show in a really long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. A real long while. But that was a lot more adventurous because of the fact that we had green screen and somebody to actually help produce it.
Yes.
Not dealing with a piece of crap computer that couldn't hold its own if it wanted to.
Yeah, we weren't, like, stuck together, like, shoulder to shoulder.
Although you were sitting pretty low.
I know! We gotta bring in, like, a regular chair. I was sitting low, except, of course, for the dick or asshole part, which was fun.
Yeah.
I still can't believe Issues Guy went with you. I'm sorry. It's just that I had that whole spiel prepared, and you were like, well, video just says it all for dick.
Well, basically what I did was I walked through just like a dick. I did a dick move. I just did not, you know, prepare as well as I should have, and I went into a dick mode. That's what I did.
And you still won.
Yes, I did. But that's the other thing about it is I mean, even if I did prepare, I don't know if I was on the winning or so side or not, because I mean, that feeling of him when he was saying that whole, I don't even know these assholes. That's one of those things where...
But it was true. He didn't know those assholes. He just fell from the sky from the present day of that period.
Sore loser.
Maybe I'm a sore loser, but it was fun. I mean, yes.
I mean, we're only going to do that every once in a while.
Like, once a month, we're going to try to do that.
Yeah, we're going to just do this once a month now.
Because it's a lot of work.
Perfect it, yeah. Because what it is it does take a lot to produce a show. I mean, more or less for us to actually put that together, you know, we actually skipped a movie that week. We really haven't, like, done that for a while where we skip movies just to do the podcast. Once in a while we did, but, mm-hmm. I mean, this time around we were like, we gotta get there early. We want to pre-record stuff. And there was a little bit of catch-22s here and there, you know, there was a little mix-ups and whatnot, but we were able to fix them and get it so we could actually record and then edit the stuff and then be able to put it up later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, more or less, you know, we're trying to make it so that
and
you could enjoy it, but not, you know, pass out while you're watching it.
So. Right. You know, it helped, too, to do the whole pre-recorded segments, because that way we could take a break.
Yeah, we got to take, this time around, we got to take a 20-minute break. But that was because 36 minutes was like, originally that video.
We're talking about the low download.
We could actually put the low download as a video by itself because of how long it was and how funny things were. And I was kicking a lot of ass in that game.
In God mode.
Yeah, God mode, I was doing good.
Yes. But, you know, I would give us probably a B average for a first time doing a show like this. There were some things from me personally that I know I still need to work on. Like I wasn't trying to, like, eye the camera all the time, you know, stare directly at it. But because I was trying not to have the mindset, I found that my eyes were just going around everywhere. Like, they were all googly, like a cookie monster of sorts. So I need to work on that. Even though I just wear, like, sunglasses so people don't see my eyes go crazy.
Yeah, there's always that, too. But, But no, I mean, it was one of those things where we were trying to, you know, kind of interact with one another, but also interact with the actual camera, too, which is sometimes hard because the camera that we're dealing with is all the size of maybe a cell phone.
Yeah.
It's one of the Logitech HD cameras, and it's kind of small. It's kind of hard to look at. But also, the other thing is we're not looking at whatever is really behind us. And that was probably one of the things that I would like to actually have work with us next time, possibly.
Yeah, the thing is, we were able to look at the monitor, but the problem was we were looking at the live stream, which was a
10-second delay. So there was like one point I remember going, "Oh my god, Dodge, you know, Challenger, blah blah blah," when we were talking about the trailers and stuff like that. And the thing had already like moved past the screen.
Yeah.
It was already Ryan Reynolds hitting the floor or something like that. So I was like, "Oh crap, I feel bad about that one." But I think if we'll sit there, we'll work out the kinks, we'll figure out what would be best and whatnot, because it's just one of those things. We just want to be able to see what our live feed is, not having to stare at ourselves, because we know the issues guy has that whole thing where if there's a mirror in the room, he's going to be looking at himself all day long. But yeah, besides that point, I mean, more or less, I believe we did a pretty fair job first time around, especially. And then I think the other thing is we're going to get comfortable with actually being in front of camera. So, I mean, yeah, that's the thing with me. I'm always behind the camera. I'm always the guy behind the scenes doing all the work. But now seeing that we got Jace Downs, John C. Riley on the case, basically, to do our producing and stuff like that.
It's
making it a lot easier right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely easier.
And for those who missed out on it, we posted that up on YouTube for people to watch. I know there's the audio version, but there are some things in audio that don't translate as well as it does in the video.
Yeah.
So we totally understand that.
But the other thing is you just go to our website and just look for our last, our podcast / you know, live stream view or whatever you want to call it, and you'll find it right there. And we have upgraded our website, which is kind of funny because I didn't acknowledge this until like this past week.
Yes. Yeah, our new website. It looks really good.
It looks pretty sexy, and we'll have to thank Rochelle for that, and Panda for you know, hooking us up with that, because the Electric Sisterhood is above us, and they like stomping on us, but they did a good job with the website. I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a lot more fluid now. You can work with it. It's nice.
I like
it a lot.
Same here. And we also want to thank, once again, Skitty Lister for doing that whole pre-recorded segment, too, for us on that episode.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like that we did a pre-recorded. We tried to make it go along with it, so
yeah,
if you feel tricked, haha, we did it.
Well, the sad thing is, I look back at the video, you see him, you saw John press the play button when...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing. Like I said, like, we're still working on this stuff. I mean, there's gonna be a lot of other things that we're gonna have to work out, stuff like play buttons and whatnot. I mean, if I could have done that with my computer setup that I have, I mean, it does have a player and everything like that. You know, the side little, like,
yeah,
it has a touch panel on it and stuff like that, so you can actually play videos. But I don't know how we're gonna actually put that in there. Maybe we could find hotkeys or something like that to do that. So maybe next time we'll talk to the man himself, John C. Riley, about that. So
okay,
but I mean, for the most part, we're doing pretty well here, and I'm glad to be sitting here at the mic yet again. Damn it, I'd rather be in front of the camera.
Yeah, we were testing, and it was funny because we were also testing out the Issues Guy's video camera, who at the time didn't realize that he had a mic jack on his HD camera.
Oh my god, I wanted to kill him and take his camera. But I mean, for the most part, that's just one of those things that it's good to have me as a friend, because when I go to look for something, I usually find it. So when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this is kind of disappointing. I don't think this has a mic input. Lo and behold, I looked at the front part of the camera, and I found it. Where it's like, you know, I think about 0.00% of the time, that's where it is. Lately, it's been on the inner part of the actual camera.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? So, more or less, I'm kind of happy that I found that for him, because you guys are going to be able to use that at the Anime Boston. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's coming up when?
That's coming up, I believe it's April 24th through the 20th. Not April, May 24th through the 26th.
So I was confused because it's May now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dear Christ, this year has already gone by quickly.
Oh, yeah, I mean... Yeah, believe me, this year has gone by quickly. I remember, you know, because I'm going to be over in San Diego for this week.
Yeah.
I'm actually maybe gonna do an article called "The Bastard Abroad." I mean, I'm not trying to steal it, an idiot abroad. I'm really trying not to, but I thought it was funny if I did "Bastard Abroad."
Yeah.
You know, but I was thinking maybe typing up something along the lines of my little vacation over in San Diego and how it was.
Cool.
As long as the fire doesn't go over there.
Yes.
Thank you, California, for your fires.
Wildfires.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the most part, it was one of those things where, you know, my girlfriend surprised me with this, I want to say about 4 or 5 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yep, we're going to go to San Diego, especially around your birthday. Okay, fine. That works. Yeah, sure. And lo and behold, I'm going to be getting on a plane in the next 24 hours. So by the time you get this, I've already been in San Diego for maybe 3 days. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. But
he'll probably be at the zoo, just laughing at the monkeys.
I'll be at the zoo, laughing at the monkeys, trying to attack a panda. Not that panda, but we'll attack the other panda. I'm going to go try to have some fun. I need to get out of Massachusetts for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming. I have legitimately not been on a plane since about 2001. No, before that. 2000.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I'm going to have fun getting rubber gloved at the Logan Airport.
Possible threat.
Wait, what did I do? He farted. Get him! Oh, God!
So, speaking of things that have come to an end. The Celtics.
Celtics their season has come to an end, sadly, but there was a possible, like, little dash of hope of them coming back, you know, from a 3-0, you know, loss in the whole playoffs there. But
there was a sprinkle of hope, but then it was crushed by a mountain of despair.
Yeah, well, the goddamn Knicks, you know, that's one of those things that were... I was watching the start of that game, and it just seemed, no matter what they did, all they had to do was do the little wrist flick with the basketball, and it was a three-pointer. It was sad to see the Celtics go like that. Mm-hmm. But more or less, I was glad that we changed the channel, because I don't think I could have watched that devastation. I think I was able to watch the Sox, but I still think that was a bad deal, too. I mean, it's either they're on or they're off. I mean, like, Wednesday was when...
They're trying to get the rust off of last year's big epic failure.
What?
Who? The Red Sox.
Oh, the Red Sox? Well, yeah, of course they're trying to get that. But they're actually doing pretty good. I think they're first place in the Northeast.
Okay.
So they're doing what they can, even though there are still little mix-ups, especially with the pitching. The pitching is kind of atrocious. I mean, there are a couple good players, even though that one of our players, I believe Buchholz, was just... Somebody was saying that because of the fact that he's been wetting his hair and doing all this other stuff, that he's cheating, that he's actually putting some...
grease.
Yeah, grease or some spitball on there a little bit to make sure that the ball spins a little bit faster to go by everybody. So they're trying to disprove that, which sucks. But the only other thing I have to say is they're trying to also get some of these guys out of the woodworks, especially if they have to bring them up from the lower leagues and whatnot. Because
probably like the Pawtucket.
These pitchers and stuff like that, they just, you know... I'm glad to see Lackey back. Lester's good, but he was pretty bad the other night.
Is Matsuzaka still on the injury list?
I don't even know if he's even on the team still. But we do have a couple of new Japanese pitchers and whatnot, and they've done pretty well. They're kind of like... They're the in-between, more or less, as I call it. They're the guys that come in on the...
So they're like Okajima.
Yeah, seventh to eighth inning, basically. They come in to not be the finisher, but, you know, close to it. If they couldn't finish the game, then usually they'll go for it. But I mean, for the most part, they've done pretty fair right now, I have to say. But I'm hoping that they don't reach the normal Red Sox slump, as I call it, mm-hmm. where they climb from the start of the year and they get to the middle of the summer and then it's all downhill from there. But somehow they'll either land in the playoffs or they'll just epically fail.
Yeah.
But at least last year we didn't have to deal with that.
The All-Star was just
fucking gone.
Yeah. It started out in the dirt and it just stayed 6 feet under.
Yeah, no, it kept digging China, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But this year is looking a little bit better. They actually are, you know, promising a lot more, and they're trying to keep the promise of actually doing their job. So
good.
I mean,
no more Popeyes and beer.
Yeah, no more Popeyes. Even though I know Popeyes is basically right across the street from them, No more Popeyes and beer. They don't have to sit back and, like, friggin', you know, be a bunch of assholes. Like, this is one of those things where I hate these pre and post-Madonna type people where they're just like, oh, I made it, and blah, 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 I can do whatever the fuck I want. Yeah, but you gotta still work to stay there. You know, you gotta do your part in order to keep going. Otherwise, you'll be...
You get kicked off.
You'll be kicked off, traded, or you know, thrown on the side of the street. That's the thing. They,
They were having Manny Ramirez.
Yeah. That was fun.
It was like, I'm much better than these. We're going to trade you over today. Oh, I don't want to go over there. Oh, wait, I changed my mind. I love Boston.
Yeah.
Too late.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes. But yeah, for the most part, I feel that the Red Sox are doing pretty good. I'm looking forward to the Bruins to keep going and whatnot. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I really have hope. I think... I want to say that they're doing a rope-a-dope, more or less. They were effing up the last couple games and stuff like that because of the fact that they just were trying to keep their players healthy. You know, they weren't trying to go to push too hard. They were already in the playoffs. They knew where they were. Even though it pissed me off, they went from, like, I think, second seed to fourth or something like that.
Yes.
But, hey.
But it's the only way to keep them in shape before the big playoffs start.
Yeah, sometimes it's what's needed, but sometimes it's not always the best way to go about it, but... But I feel that the Bruins, they're doing good. I'm just hoping that Rask still stays hot. But yet again, it's just a crapshoot. I don't know if they're going to play Khudobin or not. You know, it's going to be one of those things. It's you got to strap yourself in and get ready for the ride, basically, for the Bruins. So
yep.
By this time, you'll know if they won or not for this Saturday night in probably the next game too. I'm still kind of pissed off that it took this long to do the next game. Like. Wednesday and then Saturday. Hold on. You got three fucking days there that you're not playing a goddamn game.
Well, they use that time to practice.
Well, yeah, they have the time to practice, but that also, I feel that that's usually like the worst thing for them is I'd rather have them in the trench the whole time, just keep them going. But that's just my opinion. But because I just feel that whenever anybody has that break period, they get too relaxed. And if they get too relaxed, they're not going to be thinking clearly. And they get onto the ice rink, and then they're like, oh, I wonder what's going wrong with me. And then it keeps with them, and they don't do anything, and then the season's over. It's sad. I've watched it too many times in Boston sports. I know. But yeah, definitely the Bruins are looking good. Sox are going to be what we have to deal with until the... until the Patriots come along. I mean, last year, I had to go to a couple games because somebody bought tickets, you know, and didn't want to go to waste.
Yeah.
As much as that year was a waste. I mean, at least I was able to bring my nephew to one game, and they won. So he was able to actually see, it was like his first time going, and he actually was able to see the Red Sox win. I was like, you lucky, lucky bastard.
Yep. Okay, I'm bringing you to every game right now. Yeah. You must be in a good luck charm. All right, rub them all over the players.
No, it's just one of those things where I was just, when I was younger, every time I went to go watch the Red Sox, it was always Red Sox versus Anaheim. I don't know why we always got those fucking tickets, but no matter what, every time I sat up in those stands, and this is the time when they had the metal bench seats.
Yeah.
And when I sit up in the bleachers, the ones that actually, like, hurt your ass by just sitting there.
And they burn your ass, too, especially in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. So it would always be, we'd always lose to the freaking Anaheim Angels. No.
It's now the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, whatever.
Fucking title. It's one of the worst names on the planet.
Yeah, so that and same with the Bruins. That was one of my other pet peeves was the old garden. I'd get stuck under the shelf, wouldn't be able to see any of the hockey game. And, you know, we'd always be playing against Tampa Bay Lightning, and they'd fucking lose. And I hated it so much because of recently I've been...
Lose to a team that doesn't even get ice any time of the year.
That's one of those pet peeves I have, too. It's like, these guys don't have any ice whatsoever, yet again, besides the one that's artificially made, and they're able to kick your ass. Mm-hmm. F you, guys. But, I was glad that being able to go to the new TD Bank Garden and stuff like that, it's beautiful. There's not a seat in the house that doesn't suck. There's just like, I mean, even up the nosebleeds. I haven't been up to the nosebleeds.
Yes, the nosebleeds are actually pretty good for seats.
But yeah, but that's the thing. There's no columns in the way. There's nothing like, fuck, I got the worst seat ever. I can only see half of this. I can only see half of that. No, this is like full blown every seat basically. You know, I mean, there's probably one guy that found the bad seat, but I mean, this is just, you know. it's a great, you know, setup that they've done.
I know. I was up in the nosebleed sections for when I saw the Black Keys, and I saw everything perfectly.
Yeah. Lucky bastard. I'm gonna go see the Black Keys. Anyways, the other thing that was awesome too that they did was they also did a prisoner of war seat. The military.
Oh, that's the empty seat.
Empty seat that they did over at the at Patriots place, the Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, Gillette Stadium.
So they did this actually at the Garden too. So now they have that one seat that's empty. So it's not always a sold out show, but it's a sold out show basically. So, but yeah, no, it's always good to have that put in there too. And there's been a lot of other support, especially since the Boston Marathon incident there, and it's. You know, it is what it is, and we're just doing what we can to keep going. Otherwise, the assholes win.
Exactly. So, and that's what matters most. We keep going, or else the haters will continue hating.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but, you know, like, that was one of those things was when that whole bombing thing happened, I was like, oh, please get my mind off of it. I wasn't trying to be like, oh, let's play fucking sports because, oh, that's just, you know, that's something that happened here in Boston. Fuck it. Just keep going. No. It was just one of those things that watching that would have made me feel better. Like, you know, being able to watch a sport that's actually in your town. But it just seemed that it was just not going to happen because those assholes were still running around. So
yeah. Well, they're caught. So were the accomplices.
Caught and somewhat killed. And, yeah, hopefully they choke on something, like their underwear, when they're getting done from behind from Bubba.
Yep.
And Fred will pound me in the ass prison. So, yeah, that's more or less what I have to say about that for right now in sports.
So, while we segue, we can segue with the whole prison stuff with the movie that we just got out and saw. Pain and Gain, the new film from Michael Bay.
Okay, so we're kind of, I think we're at different things on this one.
And this is, that usually doesn't happen when we see a movie. We usually have a sort of mental connection between if this movie is great or this sucks. And I think we're at opposite ends of this film.
All right, so just to give you a little bit of a hint of what it's about, a trio of bodybuilders in Florida get caught up in an extortion ring and kidnapping scheme that goes horribly wrong. And when I mean horribly wrong, murder, death, all this other stuff that would go wrong does go wrong, especially in cocaine.
Cocaine heaven.
Cocaine fit rages, basically, as I want to put it, which yes. I want to say Dwayne Johnson did a great job as a cocaine addict.
He did. Okay, I need to really just think about this because we just saw him in. We saw him in G.I. Joe. We saw him in. What was that? Snitch. We saw him in this. Isn't this like the fourth film that we've seen?
Hold on. I'll count the ones that are actually this year. One second here.
Okay.
So we got Fast and Furious 6, that's coming out.
Yep.
Then they've got. Pain and Gain, which we just saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next to that, he's showed up on, you know, WWE again. G.I. Joe Retaliation. Okay, Empire State. I don't know about that one.
Never heard.
It says 2013. Right. And then Snitch. Elimination Chamber, which was also another
WWE thing.
Royal Rumble. Clash Time. Yeah, that's basically it, because the last movie he did in 2012 was Journey 2.
Yeah, okay. So that's three movies we've seen so far this year with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. It's become like one more coming up soon with Fast and Furious
6. Yeah. He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. And that's the only thing that I feel about there's these actors that always has that run, you know, like the guy from John Carter there.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
Taylor Keach.
Yeah, he was on a run for a while. He did like Battleship, he did this, he did that, and then now he's gone.
Well, same because everything he was in bombed, that's why.
Same with the guy from Clash of the Titans.
Sam Worthington.
Yeah, Sam Worthington. I mean, he was in the newer Terminator movie and all this other stuff.
He was in Avatar.
Yeah, and they're still waiting for the next Avatar to come out. But
the last thing I think we saw him was Man on the Ledge.
Yeah, Man on the Ledge. That was actually pretty fair. I liked him in that one. But,
okay.
But, yeah, back to the actual movie here. Pain and Gain. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell I can explain this. Okay, from... it is based on a true story, and that's the other funny thing. They had to reemphasize that in the, by, like...
Yes,
the,
this the three, actually happened.
Three-fourths of the thing where, you know, they ended up killing somebody. Lo and behold, I might be doing spoilers here, but I don't...
Yes, well, where he's grilling hands.
Yeah, I was almost gonna, title this episode having a grilled hand sandwich, because basically he... That's the problem with cocaine. Cocaine messes with your brain to the point where you don't know what you're doing anymore. And he was in the building while...
Grilled knuckle sandwich.
Yeah, grilled knuckle sandwich. So, more or less, he was sitting there in the middle of the building. And he was, you know, he was legitimately taking, like, the charcoal-style grill and grilling the fingerprints off the hands. Lo and behold, you know, the guys come back after dumping some bodies and stuff like that. And they find him out there cooking, you know, and having this girl hit on, like, girl from across the street, like, smiling and waving at him. She looked like she was actually, like, a TSA officer or a police officer of some sort. And I was like, oh, shit. So when Mark Wahlberg came in and started bitching and moaning at him just to get the fucking stuff back in into the actual building, it was kind of, it killed me. It really did kill me. But, I mean, that was the problem with him was his... He was kind of like a tortured soul. Dwayne Johnson's character
was... he was like a born-again Christian
character. Was a born-again Christian character, but yet his environment around him was always so effed up. I mean, look when he was at the... He got out of prison, he ended up at a church and stuff like that.
The priest kind of started hitting on him.
The priest started hitting on him, and he just knocked him the hell out, and he thought he almost killed him at one point.
Like, I'm not a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah, I know. Lo and behold, he ends up going back to him at the end of the movie. But for the most part, you know, it was just really, really fucking wrong.
This whole movie was wrong, just from start to finish. Like, I like the cast of the film. I like Mark Wahlberg. I like Rob Corddry. I like Ken Jeong. I like Dwayne Johnson. And I love Tommy Chulo.
You don't like Anthony Mackie.
Which one was he?
He was Adrian.
Oh, okay. So he was the one with
the... He was the problems. One that had the
penis problems.
Yeah, he didn't have he didn't.
Yeah, he had a crooked dick.
Yeah, that's
crooked dick syndrome.
Yeah,
he had CDS
or broke dick. Anyways, so yeah, I mean, this had this one weird cast that came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting Ed Harris to show up in this. I wasn't expecting Ken Jeong. I wasn't, you know, like some of these people popped up, and you're like, holy shit, really? I mean, Peter Stormare, that was a treat for me. I like Peter Stormare. He's a good actor. I love him. He's fucking great. But, yeah, to have that, you know, all this stuff going on with these characters, it was amazing how they integrated them. I mean...
I'm just surprised that all these people are signing up to these films after Michael Bay just blatantly raped the whole Transformers franchise.
Well, yeah. That's one of those things. I was still trying to figure out why, you know... People were signing up with M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong half the time.
And now we have the whole Ninja Turtles reboot that's happening next, and I am not even holding my breath for that one. Just stick to that Nickelodeon cartoon issues guy keeps raving about.
Yeah.
But you and I, such a tool. But the problem with me with this movie was it just went on for far too fucking long. Like, I was getting to the point where I was starting to look at my watch or iPhone clock every 10-15 minutes, see how much time goes by. I would think 10-15 minutes goes by and, like, only four. Believe that. That's what I was like, geez, a lot's been happening, man. It felt like an hour's gone on. How long have we been in this movie? 20 minutes!
So... But that's the thing is this is a two hours and 9 minutes.
It felt like forever, though.
I don't know, man.
I just couldn't get into this movie. The only character I liked was Dwayne Johnson's character. But everyone else, even Mark Wahlberg, I was just getting so bored. I just... If I wanted to see idiots doing stupid shit... On the big screen, I'll watch the Jackass movies.
Yeah, that's true.
At least there's some sort of, like...
But I'm just...
There's more character development in the Jackass films than this Pain and Gain film.
But I'm just trying to figure out where Michael Bay you know, decided to go and pick up this story. Like, I mean, I watch, like, Crime Investigations Network and all those other, you know, crime networks and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't think I've ever really seen this. You know what? I bet probably when I'm flipping the channels, I'm going to bump into this actual, like, the real story of this now.
Yeah.
But it's, like, legitimately, I don't think I could I've ever seen this, like, talked about. You know, like, I never knew this was actually a real story. I never knew it happened. I mean, I know I was, like, what, 7 at the time that that happened?
Let's see.
No, I was 8.
Because it... Because it ends like when...
95. Yeah, 95, so...
And they didn't get convicted until 98, so...
Oh, that's, God, that's, no, actually, a 90... No, I'd be like 10. Jesus Christ.
So, 98, I would have been 13. You would have been 12.
Yeah. No, that's not right, because I was 13 in, like, 2000. You're older than I am, jerk.
No, you're younger than me.
Nope, you're older. Anyways.
I'm 28. you're going to be 27.
Yeah, I know, so...
You're just fucking with me, dude.
Yeah, I know. No, but seriously, it was just one of those things that I don't know why this story was picked. I mean, it seemed like this could have been just another one of those. This is like a dime a dozen story, more or less. It seems like, I mean, as crazy as it was, as the story kept going on, it just seemed like it's one of those things where it would happen. You know, like, somebody would get hurt, beat up, and all that stuff, and the cops wouldn't believe them, and, you know.
Oh, you're from Colombia. Isn't that where they have lots of drugs?
Yeah, exactly. It's
just, you're a drug dealer. You're a drug dealer. Yeah, I'm not going to believe the story about 3 ninjas, bodybuilders,
you know,
kidnapping you.
Yeah. But that's where Ed Harris comes in. He's a... You know, he's a private investigator, a retired private investigator, of course, and he called him up, and this is how he was able to...
Everything's fucking old at this hospital.
Yeah, so, it's just, I don't know, it's so insane, this story, how it went. I mean, maybe they have a director's cut where it's actually shorter, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, I do kind of agree that there was some long parts that didn't need to be in it, but there was, I felt that there were some funny parts in the actual storyline.
There were some funny parts to it, but I just didn't feel entertained. Like, I knew going into this, I had low expectations going into this film because I really hated the trailer for it, but, you know, my expectations were raised just a smidge while watching it, but I was still predominantly disappointed by this movie.
Yeah.
But then again, I should, when I see Michael Bay's name, I should really start lowering my expectations more.
Yeah, well, that's basically what you can do now with that, especially with M. Night Shyamalan. I legitimately can't give him any more credit. I can't do it.
Yeah, when I went and saw the other movie that I'm going to talk about after this one, the trailer for After Earth played, and my friend, she goes, "Oh, that looks great." I just whisper, "It's from M. Night Shyamalan." She goes, "I'm not seeing it."
Well, it's all done. I'm done with. I mean, unless somebody legitimately wants to pay me money just to go see that movie and pay for my ticket, I might go and see it. I might. Because that's the only way I will sit through an M. Night Shyamalan my ding dong fucking movie and not to have an aneurysm again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the last Airbender was the final nail in a coffin.
That was shit.
It was shit.
Yeah.
The only time I ever answered my phone in a movie theater, and I do not regret it at all.
Yeah. And then Michael Bay, it's just, I mean, I didn't mind, I guess, the last one so much. I mean, it just wasn't as attractive. I mean, there was a couple badass scenes in there. Like when they got the building basically cut in half or something like that. Or was that the one before? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I lost fucking...
Yeah.
But it's just... This movie was... It's a weird one. I mean, I think we could probably rate it now because it's... I just don't want to go any further. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Without actually giving everything away.
I was not entertained at all, really, by this. Well, I can't say I wasn't entertained at all. There were a couple funny moments, but for the most part, I spent a lot of this looking at my watch. Mm-hmm. I was bored with it. Dwayne Johnson was the only believable actor, as believable as possible as he can in this movie. And
don't touch my woman, or I'll fucking kill you! Holy crap! He's just doing a pretend thing.
I'll kill him. I'll fucking kill him. It's just... I was very bored by this movie. I was not at all pleased by it. Just Michael Bay, go back to doing Bad Boys 3 like you were supposed to do. And just leave everything else alone. I'm giving you a 1 out of 5.
Yeah. I will probably give this around a 2.5, possibly, just because, you know, it was fair, but it wasn't as fair. I couldn't even give it halfway, and I doubt that even on IMDb it's got anything going, especially because it's going to get swallowed whole by the next movie we're talking about.
Yep. And that movie is Iron Man 3, directed by Shane Black, who I think the last time we saw him was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
And he also wrote all the Lethal Weapon movies. But people are wondering, so where's Jon Favreau? Well, Jon Favreau executive produced the film, and he still plays the character of Happy in this film. So there's a new threat in Iron Man, known as the Mandarin. He's out to leave his mark on the world. He's, like, causing explosions that not only cause destruction, but incinerates people that are close to it. One of these attacks winds up putting the character Happy in the hospital, and now Tony wants revenge. He gives Mandarin his address live on the air, which, of course, is a stupid idea, because as soon as he does that, his place just gets ransacked.
Yep.
And his suit sends him to Tennessee, which is where the original first explosion happened, that some people were claiming that the Mandarin had done. And now, meanwhile, while this is going on, there's a whole subplot of there's a new genetic discovery that can, like, grow new limbs and IMPTs and on people with growth disorders. But then it also gives them fire powers as well, or it just makes them explode. Hank, wink, wink. So where's all these? So put the two together, you know, they're kind of linked together.
Okay, so now with the actual Iron Man suit, because I of course I was not able to see this. I was going to see it, but I just felt the timing was wrong, and I would have killed some teeny boppers.
Like I said, they quieted it down.
I don't care. I couldn't stand sitting in a room with a bunch of teeny boppers just trying to watch this movie. It's one of those epic movies that you need to sit down and need a room full of quiet people. And I can never trust anybody of those goddamn teenagers in a room trying to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, somebody's neck is going to be broken. I will Dwayne Johnson somebody. So, more or less, I mean, because I've seen a lot of, like, the pictures and stuff like that they've showed about, like, the actual Iron Man suit, and I think they actually, like, built an Iron Man suit this time around that they could walk around in instead of doing the whole green screen setup.
Right.
Did you feel like the setup's, like, him able to control, like, I remember seeing in the commercial he's able to control by, you know, having the actual
suit was coming back around. So what he did in this movie was he, like, inserted, like, motion sensors into his arm, so they would, like, so, like, the left glove would go here, right one would go there, and even one, like, for the actual mass part of the thing.
So but basically, did he do anything with, like, nanite-type thing, or anything?
I think it was the nanites.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, there were some kinks that needed to be worked out, like, as soon as the ass plate went on there, it launched him, like, across the room. But this movie, he really wasn't in the suit for too long. I would say about 15 minutes out of this whole movie, you saw him in the suit, which isn't long. And there was more of, you saw more of War Machine, or was it Iron Patriot?
The Iron Patriot, that's the thing.
You saw more of Don Cheadle in Iron Patriot than you did with Robert Downey Jr. in the Iron Man suit. And I think the reason why you didn't see him so much in the Iron Man suit because he was still going over or still trying to recover from the events that happened in The Avengers. Because he's only getting, 3 hours of sleep a night, and he's having anxiety issues every time someone brings up New York or the wormhole that was in the sky.
Yeah.
He's reacting the same way anyone would react to a situation like fucking New York City being destroyed by monsters and shit.
Yeah. So now, the other thing I have to ask, because of the fact I did a wee bit of research before the whole aspect of this movie coming out, and I was wondering where they could be going with it, was Norman Osborn in this?
Dude, that's Spider-Man.
No, that's the question I had to ask, because of the fact that the Iron Patriot has to do with Norman Osborn.
Really?
Yeah, there was some kind of thing that I was reading up that was
maybe in the comic book, but because of the whole Spider-Man license still belonging to Sony Pictures and shit,
yeah, they can't do anything about that. They're not going to bring him into the Avengers.
No. Yeah. As much as what's-his-name wants to be part of the Avengers, the actor playing Peter Parker now. I mean, yes. It could work. I mean, if it works in the comics, it could probably work with the movie, so long as the actor is good enough to do it.
Yeah. But was there anything out of the norm that you were with this movie that you could tell?
I felt like because they got Shane Black to do this movie, that the dialogue was just a wee bit better than the previous Iron Man movie, really? Than Iron Man 2. Because he's kind of got that sort of back and forth banter that you liked hearing from like Mel Gibson and Danny Glover or Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. You got that through the banter he was doing with Robert Downey Jr. and just about every character in this movie, from Gwyneth Paltrow to Favreau to Guy Pearce. I don't know. I had no idea Guy Pearce was going to be in this film.
I knew he was in it. I thought he was actually going to be playing a different person, but apparently he's Aldrich Killian.
Yes. And he's the one who has created this whole, or rather he had funded this whole discovery of the new limbs being able to be grown with the side effect of shit blowing up or people being able to catch on fire.
Oh, lovely. So,
and Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin just basically steals the show every moment he's on there. So he kind of starts off like this sort of philosophical Osama bin Laden type of character. But when you finally see him go face to face with Iron Man, with Tony Stark, things turn a whole different sort of shade of color. It's actually, I can't really spoil what happens, but you're gonna be like shaking your head. You'll either think it's really funny or very disappointing. I found it to be really funny.
I see Stan Lee ends up showing up in it.
Yep, he plays a beauty pageant judge. He's the one who goes, oh, I'm giving this a 10. Excelsior!
Yeah. Oh, God.
But Gwyneth Paltrow was great. The entire cast was great. And the way that they tie up this film, it made it seem like that this was going to be the end of Tony Stark's road. Or, like, tap it off the trilogy. Kind of not a similar way that Christopher Nolan tapped out Batman, but more of a more nicer conclusion. But at the end, after the credits roll, and you see the secret scene, which, yep, stay for after the credits, because you know these Marvel movies, they have the secret scene.
They gotta show something.
It says Tony Stark will return. So that means he will be part of Avengers 2. I just don't think there will be another Iron Man movie until then.
Yeah, it definitely won't happen that way. But no, I mean, we've already got Thor coming out.
And we got Captain America 2. We got Guardians of the Galaxy. We have Ant-Man.
I still can't believe Ant-Man. I don't know, man.
Dude, it's Edgar Wright.
I can't fucking...
Edgar Wright. Scott Pilgrim. Hot Fuzz.
I don't understand.
Shaun of the Dead.
No.
Edgar Wright. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
No. I don't get it. I never got his character. When I watched the cartoon part of it, I was wondering what him and that Hornet Girl or something like that were doing. I was like, who the hell put you in this character? If you can grow to that like massive size, what the hell? You know, it's like, you could do a lot more. You know, it amazes me that this is not...
Just wait for the movie to come out that will explain everything to you.
Right.
We are going to see it. You know we are going to see it.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll see it, all right. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't understand the character.
Okay. But what I also liked about Iron Man 3 is you saw just about every form of the suit...
Now,
that ever concocted the in one, this movie.
I had one issue though with the picture of the Iron. The Hulkbuster.
Yes,
I felt that it was a little bit off. It didn't look like the Hulkbuster. It had a big, weird, extruding head. It didn't have that rounded off look to it.
That's the one with the giant like claws at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that was running through shit in the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one, I believe, is the Hulkbuster, and it has been kind of, like, set on line.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things where if you look at the actual Hulkbuster, it's got a big, big actual, like, you know, it has a more round, it looks more like the Juggernaut.
Yes.
More or less. I like the Juggernaut version more than that one.
Okay. But it was cool just seeing every single Iron Man suit that was created from the Marvel Universe, not just from the movies, but from the Marvel Universe itself, just seeing it right in front of your eyes and seeing it kicking, seeing them all kicking ass, taking names, and some of them exploding the way they did.
Hmm. Interesting.
But altogether, I really, really found myself enjoying Iron Man 3 as much as the first two, of course. I definitely think it's better than Iron Man 2, because Iron Man 2 was, again, more talky and such. And it really didn't bother me too much that you didn't see Tony Stark in the Iron Man suit as much as the previous film, because he was still, like I said, he was still going over the fact of what happened in New York. He wasn't truly ready to be put in that suit again.
But he was Iron Man.
I know he's Iron Man. He's Iron Man with in the suit or without the suit.
That's completely. He's Tony Stark outside of that fucking thing. And just when he's without that stuff, he's not as good as he is until he has that other piece of him now. He has, like, basically two opposite beings of himself. Like, there's him, and then there's him in the actual suit.
Yeah.
So, he needs to be in the suit.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
All right. But for a rating of this film, I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5. I think it was a very nice way to end the whole Iron Man saga until we see him again in Avengers 2. You will not, like, be disappointed.
Do you think there's going to be a fourth movie? Because
no, I don't think so. The way that this ended, there's no way in hell there'll be a fourth film.
That's not good news for me, but that's the way I'm seeing it right now.
Well, remember what happened last time when a good franchise had a fourth film? It was called Batman and Robin.
That is right. Okay, never mind. You got me on that one.
Aha! Uh-huh. That's why you never go forward to these. That's why the Saw series should have quit at 3.
Yeah. Well, what about Lethal Weapon 4?
Shane Black!
Yeah.
The only exception, and it's Shane Black who wrote that film.
Yeah, but if he went to the fourth one, do you think he could do something with it?
You would really have to impress me.
Work miracles, right?
Yeah, you would have to work miracles, especially with the way it ended. And I can't really go into.
Yeah, you can't divulge that information. We're otherwise prepared to be sued.
No, yes. Alright, so why don't we go back into Disappointment Town with one demo that we got to try out? Sony's attempt at trying their own Trials HD series called Urban Trial Freestyle.
I think they should sue him just because.
It was basically the same fucking setup. Same camera angle and everything.
Same camera angle, same weird-ass, like, looking stuff in the background. You were on one single line, and that's where you were going. Everything moved around the camera view of the actual bike. That's the only way that worked. And also,
the only thing that was different was there wasn't something funny that happened when you reached the end.
No, you didn't get blown up or something along those lines.
There was
always other crap in the way of when you're riding in the game that would mess you up or something like that, which was kind of funny because you kept laughing at me every time I crashed, you asshole. But
this game says, oh, we're going to be extreme. Well, you can't really be extreme when you're going 5 miles an hour trying to not hit everything.
I mean, I was thinking even going back and trying to tweak the bike, but I don't even think that would have helped.
You gotta buy the full version of the game to tweak the bike.
I bet you do, but that's one of my issues. Is like you're like, oh wait the whole time. You're just like, you're throttled out. You're like, unless there was some kind of way to actually do a manual switch or something like that to make your bike go faster, which it wasn't given in the actual, like, any control aspects of it.
No.
So more or less, you're going like 2 miles per hour, and then it's trying to make you do like long jumps and high flips or whatever. Trying to do
but
high jumps.
It's like enough time to do one damn flip. Yeah. Whereas in Trials Evolution, you could like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's funny that you were saying that because I legitimately was playing that with my nephew before I came to do the show today. I got, you know, my nephew was over and he was just like, "Oh, is Trials on this?" You know, and I was like, "Yeah, go ahead and play Trials." And he was messing up really badly, so I was just like, "Here, this is how you do it." So I put him on the roller coaster one, and I came down, and it exploded and pushed me, and I just did like 10 front flips in a row and landed it perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how badass that game is. But for PS3, it just seems like it's a sad moment for me with PS3 to be like this. Like, I remember PS2 being the most badass system out there. I loved playing it on a daily basis until I got an Xbox. But I love playing that on a daily basis. I mean, all the rappers had these in their friggin' cars. Everybody had a friggin' PS2 in, like, their car with TVs and headsets and all this other
shit.
Even
Bus Driver had a PlayStation 2, like in what he says in Casting Agents and Cowgirls.
Yeah. So, I mean, more or less, that's one of those things. PlayStation 2 was one of the ultimate things. PlayStation 3 just seems like a nice big lead paperweight right now. None for nothing. I know that you got all the systems, you asshole. But, I mean,
there are some good exclusives that PlayStation had.
Exclusives that I feel that should be on all of the systems anyways.
Yeah.
But for them to just completely have control of those games just doesn't seem proper. And right. For them to have PS4 coming out, I'm
still questionable about PlayStation 4. The fact that it's not backwards compatible with the PlayStation 3, even though it reads the same fucking discs as them, that just pisses me off. But, and I bet you Microsoft was watching the reaction and was like, we are going to make the Xbox 720 backwards compatible.
They better, because it's one of those things where if you go to my house right now and you go into my man cave where Darkheart mainly is right now, I have a stack of Xbox games. And I mean like a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And you've seen them. Like I have... What is it? I have like 4 stacks on my speaker system.
He's got the Stonehenge setup of these video games. You got one tower here, one tower there, one tower
there. And then I still have like another like, you know, actual tray full of games that, you know, weren't my favorite, but they're still there. I didn't go and trade them in because they felt that
they're inside your couch. They're inside your little seat cushions. They're inside everything.
I made a couch out of the goddamn game cases. That's what I did. So more or less, it's one of those things that they better have some kind of backwards compatibility, because that's going to be one of those things. I mean, that's going to piss me off, because at some point, it's going to get to the point where they're not going to, like, once they have the Xbox 720 out and they make sure that they have, you know, most of the kinks worked out and they put out the second generation, they're definitely not going to support Xbox 360.
Right.
They're not going to, like, if you buy an Xbox 360 and you're playing it and it burns out on you, unless you have the warranty probably set up, you might be out of luck.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I'd be afraid of. But, I mean, it's one of those things that they'll still try to make money off of it somehow. Scary as that is.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
I might have to
buy it. But, of course, when the Xbox 720 comes out and whatnot, I'm definitely not going to have any money to buy it. It's just, I've spent so much money towards a 360, I don't have any other money to spare.
Right.
It's sad. Unless they have, like, a whole trade-in system or something like that. Maybe I might be able to.
Yeah, like if you could trade it in and put all your data from the 720, from the 360 onto the 720, I'd be good with that as well.
I'd be happy with that. It'd be like doing that whole leasing for cars kind of thing, where you lease a car and then a couple years later you want a newer model car, you just trade it in.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
But getting back to this horrible, awful piece of shit game, Urban Trial Freestyle, just... Fucking do yourself a favor, buy yourself an Xbox 360 and play Trials instead.
The people that had put this game together, I apologize for whatever education that you have gotten to think that this was a badass video game.
They probably went to, like, tech or...
I don't know.
Community college.
I mean, I just don't know what they were freaking thinking. They were like, this is going to be badass. It's going to be better than Trials Evolution. F them. Trials Evolution has got it pinned down. Like, they have it all set up that you can basically do, you know, you can create your own, like, map system. You can do all that other stuff.
You can blow yourself up.
You can blow yourself up, drop things on you, drop heavy things on you.
drop down from heavy things, and you can even
fall from great heights.
You can even roll in a giant fucking hamster ball.
Yeah, exactly. And this game, there's just no, there's no reason for this game to be out. I don't know how.
It doesn't deserve to exist. So, does that mean, does that mean, since it doesn't deserve to exist?
Negative zero.
Yes, negative zero.
We haven't given that one for a while, but
me,
I just feel like this is goddamn negative zero. It's, it doesn't work. It just does not, everything that was formatted in this game, like when you're driving and stuff like that, it just feels like the mechanics are all off. Everything is just wrong, so... Mm-hmm. I don't even want to give this any more time. Negative zero, F this game.
Same here.
Yeah. But...
The other game I got to play, though, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, and I'm still trying to figure out what the connection is between this one and the first Far Cry 3. Or, you know, the one that came out.
I don't think there is a connection.
I don't think there is one either.
I remember watching Billy on Structure Gaming going around killing sharks and stuff like that on an island, doing all that other stuff. That was Far Cry 3, I believe so.
Yes.
And this one is some outrageous take on something that seems like...
Well, it's...
Somebody sat on the toilet in the 80s and just, this is what came out. This is basically, I feel like...
Well, this is the... Garbage. This is, like, supposed to be the product of the 80s. It's 2007. It's the future. Everything's in... Yeah, it's... It's what we assumed was going to happen in, like, Running Man.
I'm sorry, the 1950s were thinking, oh yeah, in 2000 they're going to have flying cars and blah blah blah, this and that. Still hasn't quite happened yet.
No, and then in the 1980s, when we were, again, Running Man, we were paying $10 for a can of soda.
Yeah, that... I feel like it's getting closer to that nowadays, because you got to pay $1.50, $1.75 now.
$1.75 for a bottle, but can...
Can is
like 90 cents.
Yeah.
Which is like, which I remember back in the day, back in the early 90s, it was like 85 cents for a can of soda. Which, you know,
what would have killed me was, is if they actually had the card system where they could just run up and hit their credit card on the Coke machine so they could drop $10 for a Coke can.
Yeah. But here's
that would have been more accurate.
Yes. But here's my question. Here's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Because of the way that this future was created for this game, for the year 2007, everything is all robots and everything looks dire.
It's an apocalypse after an apocalypse.
Yes, it's an apocalyptic apocalypse, as they put it. And The Running Man was out in the 80s, so were a few other of these futuristic films. And during that time...
Terminator.
The Cold War was going on. And as soon as the Cold War ended, maybe a couple of years later, those types of movies stopped.
Yeah.
They stopped making them. So my question is, if the Cold War was still going on, would we still be having those sorts of futuristic movies happening? Or do you think that sort of future would have happened? Like if Russia or the USSR actually had... managed to get their hands on nuclear weapons.
Their hands on nuclear weapons. That was the basic thing that was back then.
Launched them.
It was basically who had the balls to press the button, and nobody did because they were like, oh, we don't want to kill one another, blah, blah, blah. So whoever did push the button, no matter what, the other side would have pushed the button too, and they would have killed one another off.
Yeah.
But it came close, like the Cuban Missile Crisis, but it didn't happen.
So. Yeah.
We're here.
I know.
That's how it happened.
But I'm just saying that as soon as the Cold War ended, so did all these types of futuristic films, and then everything just seemed hunky-dory in the future.
Yeah.
So, I'm just curious if the Cold War was still going on, would we still have those sorts of movies happening or being made?
Possibly.
Yeah. Because remember when we watched the original Total Recall?
That was disturbing.
The original Total Recall when they're on Mars.
Yeah.
That sort of shit. Because that was made when the Cold War was still happening.
When they fell out into Mars and they started, like, look like they were expanding until, like, the atmosphere came in, I was...
And their eyes were bolting out.
The fuck out. That messed up my childhood, man.
Dude, Dude, I used to think that the world was going to end in 1997, like what they said in Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Dude, I was watching the show Sightings one point, and they predicted that, especially on my birthday, of all times, in like 2005 or something like that, that the world was going to end. And I was like, great, I'm going to only live to like 18. Something like that. It was really funny.
Yeah, I used to think like that. But I know we just sidetracked from that whole sort of discussion. This game has been...
It actually looks okay with graphics.
Very funny. It's like with the the robots that you have to go and kill. When you go up and stab them behind, they don't just malfunction. You just go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And you just explode. And the way you try to distract them, you throw a 20 die.
Oh, 20 die?
You know, like from Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Yep.
Why do you have to throw a 20 die?
You have to distract them somehow to make them go, beep, boop, bop, what was that?
Wouldn't you throw a rock at them or something? Wouldn't it be better to throw a rock?
No, that would be more of the 70s with the pet rock.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is right. So more or less, they're doing everything to make fun of the 80s.
Yeah. Kind of like what Double Dragon Neon did.
Jesus.
So everything's neon colors, everything's futuristic, shit's blowing up, there are robot dinosaurs.
There's a lot of purple.
There is a lot of purple. But I loved the little nods that I saw in this demo to like those sorts of movies. Like when you're on the gunner in a helicopter where you're trying to shoot down all the other robots and such,
mm-hmm.
What plays? Long Tall Sally by Little Richard.
Oh God, really?
From Predator.
Why?
Just because.
Yeah, but I do agree with you. At this time, there was a lot of those really, really violent, you know, sci-fi type movies. You know, at the time, I mean, when it came to the 90s, a lot of that
RoboCop kind of dropped
off. But or they tried to continue it into the 90s, and it didn't do as well because not everybody was on cocaine.
No.
Remember
Surf Ninjas?
Oh God! Goddamn Rob Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I enjoyed it, I liked playing the Game Gear.
There was a Game Gear game for that?
Yeah. Dude, you don't remember that? In the movie, the kid actually was using a Sega Game Gear just to beat, like, he was using them to beat up all the ninjas.
Right.
I still have my Game Gear. I just don't know if it will power up, though.
You need, like, 8 batteries for that thing.
Yeah. That thing was one of the... if somebody tried to attack you, you could legitimately, like, save yourself by throwing it at their head. Be like, oh no, he's attacking me! Oh! Never mind! I'm all good!
He's coming out.
Just call the police and he'll be all set. But yeah, I mean, for this to be like that, I just... no.
Like, I can't really talk too much about this game without spoiling it. Plus, it was only a 15-minute demo and it really just ended... As soon as the first mission was done.
Yeah, it was abrupt.
It was very abrupt. Yeah. I was kind of mad at that. But from what I've seen so far, it's very, very enjoyable. I mean, I found myself laughing throughout this game. Probably from start to finish. Because of how everything was so cheesy. And the cutscenes. My God, the cutscenes look like how they were in the Super Nintendo.
Like 8-bit style, like,
yeah.
Oh, God. But, like, when I saw the graphics, they looked pretty fucking decent.
Yeah. Well, that's the in-game, but during the cutscenes, it looks like old-school cutscenes. Like, you saw, like, Metal Gear or, let me think of other...
So we've established that as a completely separate game from Far Cry 3.
Yes. Okay. And I don't think it has anything to do with... The origin with Far Cry. I don't even think the antagonist is going to be the same in this game.
You know what I was thinking is probably in Far Cry there was probably an actual like little game like with the like an arcade game that was sitting there in the corner or something like that and
called Blood Dragon.
And they probably went off that.
It's possible.
They always do Easter egg shit like that. So
yeah. So I can give this a very solid 4.3 out of 5 for the demo of this game. I'm probably going to wind up buying the full version of this as soon as I'm done with all the other games I have press copies of, and I'll probably try my best to review it.
All right. Otherwise, I can always take it.
Okay.
All right, well, I guess we can put a fork in another show.
Yep, let's just do our little spiel. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bass Brigade, you can visit our website at www.b3crew.com. For questions, comments, anything you would like us to talk about, you can reach us at thebasses@bostonbassbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blonic is under Blonic. And you can also find us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. I'm trying to think of other ways to use it. Hopefully, maybe while I'm out at Anime Boston or in LA for E3, I can maybe do some little tidbits and pictures here and there to make it look all nice.
Yay! We're also on facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade. So you can go and like us on there and tell us what you want us to check out, or otherwise just comment on anything that we've actually written about or, you know, recorded now, because we're doing a lot more videos.
Yep, and as we said earlier, we have our brand new refurbished website, and you can now use Facebook to comment on our articles, which, you know what that means? No more spammers, no more spammers.
Yay, no more spam. Even though I like spam in a can, I just don't like the other spam. The other spam sucks. No, I did see that, actually, and I felt that was really another little awesome tidbit that we added onto our whole new awesomeness of website. So,
yes.
Definitely can't wait for that. And then we're hopefully trying to work on getting an honorary Bostonian segment.
Honorary Bastards and honorary Bostonians. Of course, honorary Bostonians so far still is just Skinny Lister, but who knows how long that list is. But honorary Bastards, we have a bunch of people that we consider honorary Bastards. Recurring guests, bands and artists and such.
Yep, and we're working on it.
Yep.
So. All right.
So, next week, we may not have a show, possibly, and maybe talking to maybe some of the other guys from Electric Sisterhood coming on while Blonic is out having fun in San Diego.
Yeah, that Saturday I'll be actually coming back late at night, so I wouldn't be able to do the show.
It's fine. Take a rest. Take a knee.
Yeah, take a knee. I haven't heard that one since I was in football. Thanks, asshole.
So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Blonic.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps.